Black Country Radio Sport. Black Country Radio Sport.
Welcome along to the latest edition of the Black Country Sports Cast, and this week we're coming from the James Grove Lounge at the Grove at Hal's Owen. Contrary to popular belief, I do like to cover Hal's Owen Town occasionally when I'm given the opportunity. And 48 hours after the big number 9 derby, we'll be looking back at that particular game, plus also what the future holds for this club in the company of the owner, Keith McKenna. Keith, lovely to see you.
Thanks, Adam. Great to have you on board.
This is rarity, isn't it?
It is. You're normally presentation. So have you paid your entrance fee of 12 quid?
I thought that was to get out, not to get in. Number 9 derby, first of all. Just forget the result for a minute. As an occasion, how do you look back on it?
Well, quite a lot of planning went on. Andy and myself were talking for the last sort of 4 or 5 weeks about how we could make it safe for the fans and try and go ahead without it, with minimum disruption as possible. And I think we've worked really well. We've had a couple of instances where we've had some tough games here with potentially bad supporters, and we just shared ideas and we came up with a plan. Dave Hawley and went down to see the guys at Stourbridge as well. Andy and I communicating quite a lot. And I think it was a fabulous occasion and one that went without major incident.
It must have been concerning given what's happened in the previous pre-season friendly and the abandonment that we had last year, so much so that the trophy that was being played for at the time had to be put on the shelf at least for the time being. And that everyone said at that time that they felt a bit hollow about the situation, that it had been spoiled by people who weren't even fans in the first place. So I guess you and Andy, between you, were trying to make sure that that didn't happen again.
Yeah, certainly. Even talking to our own fans, I know a number of them didn't really want to go until I explained potentially what was in the pipeline, and they were talking to the police and making sure that we had a process that we thought worked. But yeah, listen, that friendly was right in the midst of the pandemic. You know, it was quite well known that it was generally kids that were causing problems, that they were looking for things to do and taking their enthusiasm, and if you like, out of the game. But yeah, certainly the game is a memorial trophy, not memorial, a celebration trophy for Hugh Clark and Colin Brooks. And yeah, it was marred, and the occasion got spoiled really, and we were at least going to make sure that after 5 years not having a league game, that we were going to go to the nth degree, if you like, to make sure that it was going to be a good game and as incident-free as possible.
Would that sort of memorial trophy return at some point?
It was the first leg on Tuesday, so we have the return leg on the 6th of January, so Colin and Hugh actually had their picture taken, and it was rejuvenated as such. So yeah, we're playing for it again, and we have the upper hand at the minute.
So it's done over the two legs of the two league games. Brilliant. As an occasion, for me, it felt exceptional because of the fact that I think both sets of supporters were desperate to get the number 9 derby back. And when I say supporters, I mean genuine supporters from both sides. And the fact it was a sellout, you knew it was going to be one of those really nice occasions. Now, I know there was a little bit of problem behind Paul Smith, but on the whole, everybody was really well behaved and shouted until I went deaf, basically. You know, I know you've had some great days here, but, you know, it's a special occasion, wasn't it, on Tuesday?
I thought it was excellent. So, basically, our fans were down on the bottom shed. So, obviously, I went to meet the directors and stuff for a drink before the game. So, I effectively had to walk through all the Stourbridge fans. And lo and behold, I knew that many people. So, it felt a very friendly atmosphere. And in the main, it was. And it was a good game. It was a cracker. So, the atmosphere seemed good. Our fans made a noise because they were in the shed. Yeah, we had a little problem behind the dugout. But something we'll learn from the next time. Andy's already called me. He's already putting action in play to make sure that doesn't happen again. So one of them things, and if I'm honest, I don't think there was any trouble down the town. I haven't heard of anything. We've called contacted the police to see if they had had any incident, and it looks like it's gone very nicely, so very pleased.
And you took 803, I think, something like that, supporters to the game, to be in that the Stourbridge shed end, as it were. And that did you proud?
Unbelievable atmosphere. When we scored our first goal, the noise, I don't get the chance to actually sit back and look and see the spectacle that it was. So very, very proud. Very, very proud. The fan base is growing all the time. They get right behind the team, and it's just a joy at the moment.
What is Paul Smith doing right? And I say this not just for Halzo in town, but in his career, full stop, in his managerial career, because he's done it at Bromsgrove Sporting, he's done it at Halzo in town, albeit over two periods of time. You know, the guy can't do wrong, really, can he?
Well, to be honest with you, to strip that back a bit, he's a fantastic manager, Adam. He's not just... He doesn't just think about the football team. He thinks about the impact of the club. He's a great help to me because... you know, for that reason, he's commercially orientated. We're trying to put plans to the stadium. We're trying to improve things that's going on. But most importantly, we've really sat down and thought about the team this year. And last year, we got promoted. We needed, in our mind, we needed two key areas. Bulk up the centre midfield. We brought Nathan Hayward in. And we wanted a second striker to support Greggs and Simeon. And lo and behold, Insel was that man to get the ball over the net, over the line. And, you know, so we sat back and thought, you know what, we've planned it. But probably not how we thought it was going to end up, but we planned what we thought would be right. And this year we've gone really, we wanted a younger, fresher, hungrier team. I did a wee bit of research on Banbury. And they did it a little bit by default. They didn't have a huge budget and had to put a lot of hungry kids in and look what happened to them. You know, they flew up the league. So Paul's, he's a thoughtful, caring manager. You know, for the first time, he actually supported, celebrated with the fans. You know, and for me, he let his guard down, and I think the fans will like him more now that they can see that he can show his emotion. He likes to be, he's that professional person to the nth degree. You know, but for me, he cares, Adam. You know, he definitely cares. He's, you know, we're in a situation where we have to be ruthless sometime. We've got a great squad. They all want to play, and it's tough for him. So, but he's managing it really, really well. We've got a brilliant backroom staff now as well. Josh Coney stepped up. Gary Weld, lots and lots of experience. Martin just coming in, got all his badges, ex-pro. Had a great dynamic, you know. Obviously, Craig's gone to Bromsgrove and we needed to replace something. And the guys have come in and I think Paul feels comfortable now that he's got certain elements that he can call upon. And hopefully with myself, I'll support him with anything he wants to try and do to improve the squad.
I know Paul wears his heart on his sleeve, and I know he went through a very, very difficult time and took a time out and came back. But take that out of the equation a moment and look back to the playoff game that you lost, and the fact that you lost it so late in the day. And I remember watching Paul sitting in the dugout for 20 minutes afterwards, almost like his world had caved in. And nobody ever wants to see that from anybody. But as you say, the day you got promoted for the playoffs, and to see the emotion of that day and to turn it round like 180 degrees, it was just something to behold, wasn't it?
It was. Even take it back a step further, to be nearly promoted and to nearly play at Wembley and have that taken away from you, you know, it affected Paul 100%. I could see it. He didn't have the same oomph about him, and but he dusted himself down, and we went again, and obviously we lost out in that playoff. And you're right, you know, I think I was probably one of the first to go down and get him off that bench and to go on, you know. We've done ourselves proud. It was a moment of madness, and it's nothing that's in your control. And I do really think we had to think. He thought, well, have I got it in me to do it again? You know, and he did. And you know, and he's proved he's a good manager. He's great at the level. He's shown what we can do now. We're playing a lovely brand of football. And he's got his spark back. He wants to get the club as far as possible. And for me, it's great to see. It's a joy when he's in full flow. He's great. You know, he's got so many ideas. Brilliant with the young lads. He's good with the experienced guys as well. He calls upon them. He uses that changing room very, very well to his advantage. And I think it's you're seeing on the pitch the benefits of it now.
But also, importantly, he's bought into the ethos that you and Karen have brought into the club.
Yeah.
And he loves the club now, and the club loves him back. And I think, is that not why it's working?
100%. He had a wee bit of a bad time in terms of results, and like any club, the fans go against you, you know. But you have to realise, I see it from the... From behind the fence, and I can understand both sides, but yeah, the fans do like him. He plays a brand of football, and I'd say probably 90% were behind him, you know. But some fans are outspoken; they have their opinion, and you got to respect it, and that's it. So, and if you can't deal with that, Adam, you're in the wrong job, I'm afraid. And he is dealing with it, and he's very approachable. That's what I like about him. Any fan comes to him, I'll tell you, give him time. He'll speak to them. He'll try and explain. Somebody asked him about why he changed something, what he done. You know, he'll always try and give somebody time, but and I think that works. And now he's starting to see the benefits. The crowd are behind him now, and he has bought into what we're trying to do. You know, we're only halfway through a big job here, and you know, the club's got aspirations to go a lot higher, as have many other clubs. And it's important that we all stick together. But I think we're in very good hands with Paul.
It was interesting, since the game, a lot of people have said to me, and these are Stourbridge supporters, who have said that it's the best that they've seen Halzo in town play. And it's almost, you remember the days when Stourbridge were in the better, stronger position and having the cup runs, and Halzo in town were languishing. And it's almost like the two teams are like passing like ships in the night to a certain extent. And they were saying, you know, this Halzo in town side, you know, can go a long way. Is this, in your opinion, you know, the strongest that you've had at the moment since you've been at the club?
I'd have to say it looks that way, you know, when you think that who's not even on the pitch. There's no Gregory, there's no Josh Hawker, Cater as well, he's coming back from injury. I've got to say, yes, it is the strongest squad we've had. We had a great squad in that FA Trophy run. It was a real eclectic mix of different things, but here, the team seems so together, and there's a lot of skill and craft in there. And, you know, we didn't really want Simeon to go in the first place. He's come back and he's just added that raw pace again. And I think we've got absolutely everything in every position now. So, and they're all competing for places. But it's healthy competition, Adam. And it's okay putting a group of players together that work hard. But, you know, they've got ability as well. And they're buying into what we're trying to do. Martin's been working on passages of play and different things, and everybody's buying into what we're doing. And you know what? A couple of them are maturing. Macaulay Manning, he's matured in the last 3 or 4 years. He's like a different guy now. You can talk to him. You know, he just wanted to show everybody what he can do. But now he's thinking about the game, doing what is right for the team. But the biggest developer for me is Jack Holmes. The kid's just, he's phenomenal. I've always loved him, but he's not always made the right decisions on the pitch, and sometimes his body language is can be wrong because he's frustrated with himself, which is a natural thing to do. But he's playing out his skin at the minute, absolutely unbelievable. And then you mentioned Miracle. You know, this kid can do everything, and he's, you know, I think he's nowhere near the finished article yet. So I think, yes, we probably have got the best squad, and we've probably got the best potential squad going forward as well once they've had a bit more time with each other.
I know Paul well enough, I think, to say that he would have had one big disappointment from Tuesday night, and that's conceding 3 goals.
Yeah, definitely. He went on the radio. I thought he was a little bit harsh to say that we were... It's probably the worst we've played. I thought their attacking passages of play were unbelievable. I know what he means. 3 set pieces. We've only conceded 3 goals all season. We've been very, very, very good. And I know the lads were very disappointed with that. Platy, who's been immense and showed toward the end why he's such a good goalkeeper, you know, he won't like that. His decision making is normally really good. We've gave a penalty away, and then we've given away a silly free kick, all the things we talked about. And so yeah, he's a bit disappointed about that, but do you know what, if you can make mistakes and still get a result, you can work on them tonight. In fact, they're probably there right now working on them. And you know, everybody makes mistakes, and luckily we got away with it because I think we were hanging on a wee bit at the end.
In hindsight, and I hate using that word hindsight, but you look back at last season in Division 1 Midlands and you look at the teams that were in there and you look at the start that Stamford have had to this season and you look now at the start that Spalding have had and Sporting Kelsra have had again in the Division 1 Midlands. Was it a very strong league last season, and has that helped Kelsra in town in many ways?
Honestly, Adam, it was a very, very strong league. Spalding came good. Corby are always very difficult. Kelsra were good. Stamford were brilliant last year. I would say there was 10 teams that you really, really had to work hard against. But yeah, they are. It's Market Harbour, another one. That Coles Hill, they just come thick and fast. And, you know, they're in-your-face teams. You know, you don't get a minute. If you're not ready, and everybody from a league lower wants to come to Hales Road and be the scalp. So... yeah, I thought it was very tough. It's not as easy as you think. That's why I said we brought in an extra striker with Insel, and Nathan De Hayward's reputation has been brilliant for getting stuck in, and people like Brad Butts. We knew what we were going to get, and that's why we brought them boys in, and luckily we got through.
We're going to take a half-time break now and listen back to the highlights, brief highlights of Tuesday night's game, and you'll also hear from Paul Smith after the game, and also from Leon Broadhurst for Stourbridge. And after that, we'll talk about the future here at the Grove.
Black Country Radio Sport.
Hickman's taking this one, twisting it forward. Hayward tries to get a foot on it, tries to feed it out. Holmes has got his foot on it, gets his shot away. Falls to Hayward, falls on in, and it's gone in. Looks like Macaulay Manning got the final touch, but the Elves have taken the lead. Stourbridge nil, Hales Own Town 1. Away to Stephen Delane, the free kick, which Harvey Portman's going to take. We're talking 5 or 10 yards inside the Elves half. As the Elves faithful sing, we're just it'll be Alex Prosser taking a right-footed cross from, as I say, 10 yards in, attacking the Elves fans on the right-hand side in that goal. Platt's going to come up and gather it. Didn't get it. Goes out. Last boys have equalised. Platt misses the free kick, misses the punch. The Elves concede. Stourbridge won. Last boys, sorry, Stourbridge won, the Elves won. Nathan Hayward, I think it was. The far side, who gets the header on it? Handball to Hayward. Penalty, says the referee. Penalty, the last boys. Handball. Header across, came off a Yelts defender's hand. Didn't see who it was, but it's a penalty to the Glasboys. Hands down on the right-hand side, Dan Platt. In front of the goal, bouncing up and down. Is this going to be the equaliser? Bembo races forward, tips it over. Platt dives to the right. Bembo hits it to the left. Luke Bembo scores off the penalty. Starbridge 2, Alzo in town 2. Far post, Jack Holmes twisting and turning once again in the penalty area. Can he find anybody to pass it to? No, he can't, so he's going to take on the man. He's beaten him, he's got it over. He's got the ball into here. Miracle Okafor! First time shot, Jack Holmes cross. Miracle Okafor back in the net. Charlie Price, no chance at all. Starbridge 2, Hale Zone Town 3. What? McCauley Manning trying to go behind. Mistake in the Glasboys defence. Donnelly nicking it off court. Off Shambrook's feet. It's still the Yelts down now on the right hand side. Jack Holmes twisting and turning. There's a gap opened up. He's put it in the net. What a finish. Outside of the area. The Glasboys defence backed off. Jack Holmes, Charlie Price, no chance. Starbridge 2, Hales Owen 4.
Forward it goes. It's Donnie Manning out on the far side.
Yes, full time whistle.
Black Country Radio Sport.
On the pitch here at Amblecote after it finished Starbridge 3, Hales Owen Town 4. These local derbies used to be dull and boring before. Nothing like it there, was there?
No, what a game of football from both sides. I thought it was fully entertaining. We've both gone for it hammer and tongs. And I feel we've come away with a deserved victory. Yeah, listen, we were nowhere near the levels we've set ourselves over the last seven or eight games. We've been miles off them. But you come to a place like this and the atmosphere around it, and sometimes players can feel that, and I think we did at times today. But luckily, our extra little bit of quality shone through, in my opinion. We had numerous chances first half to score two or three, and we didn't take those. But we huffed and puffed, we work hard. And like I said, it was a case of coming here and getting a result. And perhaps the performance wasn't as good as we have in previous weeks. But we didn't get our just rewards in those games. We've played very, very well in draws. So today we've come here. Even though I think we've shaded it, we still were nowhere near the levels we set ourselves. We've got ourselves 3 points.
Yeah, probably one of those that was better for the fans than for a manager, wasn't it?
Yeah, tough. You know, you're in the midst of their fans. It's a tough night in the office, but it's made all worthwhile for those 3 points. This one's for the fans. You know, it's been a number of years now that Haleszone have been in a lower level than Stourbridge, and all those canteens, all those pubs that the Stourbridge fans have been able to put one over on the Haleszone fans, well, now we're back at the same level. And not only are we at the same level, we've come to their town, their manor, and we beat them. So that one's for the fans.
Yeah, we can talk about the attacking force in a minute, but Ryan Winter, Kieran Morris at the back, and the defence was pretty good, barring the free kicks given away for goals and things.
Yes, they've done well in open play mainly, and I think you look at the goals that we've conceded, and they're poor goals to concede. You know, free kicks we give away, and Platty's threw one in for the first. So, you know, normally reliable players that have been brilliant for us, we switch off and lose a little bit of concentration. We've been punished for those, but like I said, there's that sort of inner belief with this group, and that. They've took those on the chin and they've bounced back on again, and we've gone and got a result, and it's a fantastic team effort.
And then the goals in the second half from Jack Holmes and Miracle, worthy of winning any game, really.
Yeah, they've got that in the locker, haven't they, the pair of them? So, yeah, fantastic finishes. And like I said, on another day, we could have scored three or four more at various stages, especially in that first half. So, like I said, this is a huge win for us coming away from home, especially here. It's massive for the fans. I'm so pleased for them.
Yeah, I think Matt Punter's highlights reels are going to be about 120 minutes long after that game, aren't they?
Yes, you'd hope so, with what's gone on in that game. Yeah, fantastic. And fair play to the referee. You know, we don't call him out often enough. I thought he was tremendous today. A local derby, emotions high, two sets of players going at it hammer and tongs, and a lesser official could have struggled there, but I thought he was brilliant today.
Yeah, another 3 points, still unbeaten, and the FA Cup coming on Saturday.
Yeah, brilliant. Get us in Thursday. We'll work on some bits on Thursday. We had Alf Church watch the last two games, so we'll look at that. But listen, tonight we won't worry too much about that. We're going to enjoy a fantastic victory here tonight.
Thanks, Paul Wadham.
Thank you. Take care. Cheers.
Black Country Radio Sports.
On the pitch here.
So what did you make of that?
For a neutral, a brilliant game of football. For me and... Starbridge Football Club.
obviously disappointing to lose. Extremely disappointed to lose. First time, obviously, we've played each other for a numerous number of years, and I thought overall it was a great game. It was very, very goals. Both teams didn't defend extremely well, obviously, with the scoreline, but we could have nicked it at a draw at the end, and but they were a lot better than us first half. They moved the ball quick. We just gave them too much respect for some reason, and once second half we got back in the game. We can't concede goals the way we've been conceding goals. You can't concede four goals at home and expect to come away from it. But then on the flip side, you score three at home, you expect to win the game. So we just have to eradicate them errors, them individual errors. And it's been the same all season. If you look at the goals we've conceded this season, it's not one team has actually cut us open, apart from obviously Howe's own first half. And that's something we'll address. We have to address it, because we're creating chances, we're getting some good areas, we're scoring goals. But your base of football and picking up points is by keeping clean sheets. So we'll work on it, and we'll get ready for Matlock on Saturday.
Lots of positives to take forward into Saturday's game against Matlock.
Yeah, there's loads of positives. Obviously, I was pleased with the reaction second half, because we wasn't at the races first half, and there was positive stakes. Scoring three, could have scored more, got in some great areas, but then we also have to look at the negatives. You have to, for me, I'm a very positive person, but you have to cancel out the negatives if you want to be successful. And that's one thing that we have to do. If we want to be where we want to be, we have to keep clean sheets. We have to, and then capitalise when you're on top and score goals.
What's the news on Aaron?
He's pulled his groin, I think. Losing Aaron after 5 minutes is an absolute killer, especially when he's been in such good form. He's a leader off the pitch, he's a leader on it. And he was key for us to setting that tempo and the link up with Bembo and playing the triangles in the middle. And obviously, good opportunity for Bren though, to come in. And I thought Bren did well. Obviously, he's a bit short of match fitness, having missed a couple of weeks. But hopefully, we'll do everything we can to get 40 right for Saturday.
Just ending on the positive, this has been the first number 9 derby for quite some time, but what a fantastic atmosphere and what a fantastic game, like you say, if you're neutral.
Yeah, it's like football on a Saturday at Stourbridge. If you look at the fixture list, it's not the same without playing Howe's Owen. It's one fixture that I look for as a player and I look for as a manager. It's great for the local community, it's great for the football clubs. And it's great to be involved with it. I don't think there's a better non-league local derby. It's very passionate. The lads are up for it. It's great to have our zone back in the league. 100%. And I hope we go toe for toe all season, to be honest with you. I hope we're fighting each other, because I want to be better than them and they want to be better than us. And I just said to the boys, if you want any motivation, if you want anything, we need to be better than them. And that's it, because I'm Stourbridge through and through. Smudger's Aylesbury through and through. I'm competitive. He's competitive, and I want to finish higher than him in May.
And ultimately, these are nights that you live for, which is why a result against Matlock on Saturday is so important, to give you the opportunity to progress in the cup and give Stourbridge what they've been used to in recent seasons.
Yeah, Stourbridge, it's very, very early days in the league. It's very early days, and we are a better outfit than we have been in the last 12, 24 months. So, but one thing we do need to do is have that consistency. That's two defeats on the bounce, and we have to pick ourselves up. And the FA Cup is very special to this football club as well. And it's my job as the manager to get around the lads and continue driving them to be successful, because I hate losing. And it's on my shoulders to make us successful, and that's something that I will tirelessly do.
Well, commiserations for tonight, but congratulations to the team for making it a wonderful spectacle. Thank you.
Cheers. Thank you. Hope you enjoy.
Black Country Radio Sport.
So that was Tuesday night. Let's now look ahead. FA Cup Saturday, Alv Church Saturday. Alv Church will have a little bit of a point to prove to themselves as much as anybody else, given that they capitulated on Tuesday evening against Barwell. But we spoke at length beforehand about the perhaps the jealousy that was here about the Stourbridge Cup runs in the past. But, you know, you get the luck of the draw, and this is a real opportunity now, isn't it, to stamp your mark on a cup competition?
Yeah, definitely. Alvechurch, we know, it's a local derby. We know pretty much everybody there. Richard, the chairman, and Ian Long, PB, and Richard Caldwell, they'll have the team absolutely up for this game. There's no two ways about it. But we are desperate for a cup run. We got the trophy, which was great, but the FA Cup, we've kind of petered out at the early stages, and you know, we're very, very focused to try and go far this time. And but Alvechurch, you know, it'll be a tough game, and really looking forward to it. I think it'll be a good atmosphere, and hoping for a good crowd.
I know it's a luck of draw and whatever, and we were just standing outside looking around the ground and looking at the potential for this club. And I know also you've had the TV cameras here for a couple of seasons ago for in the same way that Sporting Carls and Dollaston did recently for an early stage. But this club's got the potential to get further in the competition, hasn't it?
I think it has. Just looking at the squad this year, they're really focused, and as I said before, I think we'll get everything in it. So it'd be nice to keep getting another home draw. There is a potential for us to play 7 home Saturdays, believe it or not, the way the cups could go, which would be fabulous for me. I'm not sure the guys behind the bar would be so happy and everybody around the ground, but yeah, so we're really looking forward to it. Yeah, you are right. We are visioning something special here at the Grove, if we can carry on going up the leagues, you know. We're determined to do it. Karen and I had a plan, and, you know, we've talked and eulogised over certain elements several times about what we can do. I know there's some planning being done at the ground before, you know, so there's definitely potential to grow the facility and improve it.
I mean, since I've been doing this, I remember the days where I used to sit with Dave Johnson and he could literally count the amount of fans that were here. You know, it'd be about 150 or something like that. Now you add a grand on top of that, and it must be heartwarming to know that so many people want to come and watch your side.
Definitely. I think we're a family club. We go the extra mile to make sure everybody's happy on match day. You know, everybody's so helpful. It does help when you're winning, and there's no two ways. Going back to Paul Smith, we had that run in the FA Trophy, and we attracted a lot of fans on that run. You know, so we can thank him for a lot of that. But behind the scenes, you know, we are trying to ensure that the match day experience is a good one. We're constantly trying to improve the efficiency around the ground, and so that people aren't queuing too long. Saturday, for instance, was just a swelter, and the barrels were foaming up and everything. It was just a disaster, you know. But that's a one-off. It's happened, and it probably won't happen again now, because we'll plan for different things. So, but yeah, in general, the fans here are unbelievable. The shed's rocking all the time, but it's lovely to see the main Horn Lane standing terrace. It's nearly full every single week, and it is a joy to watch. And everybody seems to be enjoying themselves again and together, you know, so it's long may it continue.
How difficult or easy has it been to move on now that Karen's decided to step back?
Well, it's early days, isn't it? And we'll probably talk every week anyway about different things. So Karen's been brilliant, she's done a brilliant job. But she, you know, she was finding it difficult because from where she lives and so on and so forth. So it's a bit easier for me to be more hands on. But, you know, she sorted a lot of the administration stuff out and the finance and so on and so forth. So I'm just getting through that myself at the minute. And I may look at bringing somebody on board, but at the minute I'm just finding my feet. But I suppose it's been made easier by the way the team's playing, you know. Yes, we've got certain issues, but nothing that's insurmountable. But, yeah, she'll be sadly missed, and but she's been coming to a lot of the games. So in one way, it doesn't seem like she's gone, but in another, it does. So, but yeah, it's going to be difficult, but we'll have to get there.
Will she still have her sixpenny worth, though?
Probably.
She's a Brooks, isn't she?
Absolutely. Well, her dad has his sixpenny worth there. And one other thing that was also said to me, and this was by Rob Lloyd, who said, you know, some of this that's happened to the club, and he's very kind when he said this, was because you've been around for the last so many years, given the club and indeed all the clubs in the area promotion. And that's great. That's really nice to hear. But the one thing I also find coming here is that everybody says hello and wants to shake your hand and ask how you are and whatever. It is a friendly club.
It is very friendly. Rob Lloyd's great. He's been here a long time. And we are grateful. You know, I have the crack with Steve Parker every single week, like, you know. And I won't tell you what you've seen about you on Tuesday before the game. We'll keep that for off air, but never mind it. But yeah, it is. I think it's important from our boardroom. It comes from the boardroom. They're the friendliest guys. I remember playing here, and you know, and it's one of the main reasons why I came back. You know, they're still there, and they're still supporting the club, and it's very, very friendly, as you say, but it's family orientated. But you know,
and it starts with Colin himself, and I know we take the mickey out of Colin Brooks, particularly on presentation day, because his speeches can go on until dawn the next day, but. When we first did a game here at the Grove, I think it was back in January 2010, and that was a number 9 derby. The first person who got in contact with me and sort of showed me around, there were two people. One was Andrew Wilde, who still has a link to the club, yeah. And the other was Colin Brooks. And I think you almost feel as an outsider that Colin sort of welcomes you into the club to a point that you think, I quite like this, I'm going to hang around a bit.
Yeah, exactly. So if you go to other boardrooms, Collins Street in there, they all know him. It's not, you know, it's like a stepping stone for the whole board just to go in. Everybody knows him. He's got so knowledgeable about the game, Adam. You know, he's got such a great past, and he just loves his football. He exudes. You don't want to sit beside him watching a game, by the way, buddy. He just absolutely loves his football, and he's knowledgeable, and he wants to know. He'll phone me on a Monday, right? Who we got? If we got any injuries? He's parting shots always bring you about Saturday, you know, just in case. But yeah, he loves it, and it's so nice to see somebody so passionate, you know. And as I say, the boardroom's a great place. You know, a lot of people say, well, when they come to the club, it's, you know, we've been treated really well, and it starts with the boardroom, your directors, and the professionalism of the club, you know. And you know, I think we try and do things properly here, and for me, I've took a leaf out of the boardroom's book and want to carry that on.
Passionate to the point of emotional, really, in many ways, and certainly was during that FA Trophy competition. As I said, we looked around the ground a little bit earlier, and I closed my eyes and tried to picture what potentially could be there. You know, we're in an area where land is very minimal, available spare land, and you could argue that you've probably got the best ground in the area of all of our local size. What you need now is higher league football, and I suppose an excuse then to do something with it to perhaps increase the capacity should it be needed.
Yeah, definitely. You know, we had a few problems when I came through the door. You know, the pitch was terrible and different things. We just basically had to start from scratch. I had a great chat with John Hill when I first came through, you know, but we weren't able to bring players to the ground. It was embarrassing to watch, and I thought, this can't be right. So we just done everything else and got back to basics and got the pitch right. And then secondly, they didn't have a training ground. You know, we've fallen out with the college for one reason or another. So I just knocked on the door and said, well, what's going on? And then we got a project going. We moved our academy over there. The club's put a 3G down for them, and now the club's got a training facility. So, we'll put all the small pieces in. If we get promoted now, the next thing's the stadium. The James Grove has got to be developed. It's not big enough. I've also brought the Yelks Bar now into the Hailstone Town Fold, which is going really well. And that's had a mini refurb, and the fans seem to like that, but it's somewhere for the players to go and celebrate with the fans in a bit more room. And it's just tight for space here. So if we do manage to go up, we're already thinking about the clubhouse, possible other facilities around the ground, and dreaming of maybe another stand if possible. But, you know, one step at a time.
Do you perhaps look at what Rush Olympic are doing at Dowells Lane and perhaps learn any lessons that they take out of this season?
They're early days, aren't they? And John's an astute man, and he's loving it, but he's not going overboard, because it's so easy to get carried away, isn't it? And the football's always got to come first. And you've got to plan accordingly. But a club of our size, we're very well supported, Adam, and I think we can make the step advancement to the next level if need be. You know, there's certain things like CCTV and security and so on and so forth that are essential, medical and all sorts. And obviously the increase in your wage bills and so on and so forth. So very, very conscious. I talked to John a few times this season about different things, and you know he has increased his fan base, which is great, and that's definitely helping. But you know, commercially and what he's done with the pitch, that helps them. But I wouldn't like to turn ours into a 3G, you know. So ours has got to be more sponsorship and fan generation, gate generation, should I say?
And we know when you're playing at the NPL Division One Midlands, you will get all sorts of clubs and grounds of different shapes and sizes. And I just wonder what perhaps clubs like Corby and Chasetown and big clubs think when they go to places like Lye now and think, well, you know, what have we come across here? Because you do find, you know, all shapes and sizes in that division. I guess it must be hard to measure how high to set the bar, really, isn't it?
Well, yeah, you may or may not remember interviewing me just before the Halifax game when I said I aspire to get to Halifax, and then I got to the ground and seen the size of the stand. I thought, what have I just said? Yeah, listen, you know, we went to Daventry last year. They had a great clubhouse and fan base. As long as it's a decent experience, you would just get on with it. The manager will think different in terms of pitches and so on and so forth. But from a fan base, it was tough going to Yaxley and stuff like that. You know, we in terms of the size of club and stuff, it's a mismatch, really. But, you know, it's sad that the club actually got into that state of affairs. But it's football. The biggest around Wolves or whatever have gone down to the bottom. Just look at Luton Town now. It's, you know, sometimes you've got to suffer a wee bit of pain to realise where you want to be. And I think we've suffered a little bit of pain, and hopefully now it's our time to rise.
In an ideal scenario, and if you had the funding available, how big would you like the capacity to be?
Probably 6,000, somewhere between 5,000 and 6,000. It used to be 5,000, but they've brought in some health and safety conditions, so that's restricted it. But I think if we made a few developments, I can easily see 2,500, 3,000 being able to go on.
And how many will be here, do you think, for the second number 9 derby?
Well, we will segregate as well, so I would imagine that will limit us to 3,000.
Which isn't bad, is it?
No, perfect.
The town is doing very well at the moment. It's had a lot of work done to try and bring the town alive. We all know the cost of living crisis is hitting us as individuals and shops in the town centre and so on and so forth. And we know that Hal Zoe and Bid are doing their best to try and bring people and footfall into the town. And I'm just looking if there's any way or any capacity to link like the two positives of Hal Zoe in town together. I know there's a lot more than two, but there are two big positives in what Hal Zoe and Bid have done and what Hal Zoe in town are doing as well. Is there any way you can link together?
Well, yeah, I actually spoke to Hal Zoe and Town Bid probably in the midst of the pre-season, and I think, is it Alison? I think it's Alison from the Bid.
Vicky, I think, is in charge. Yeah.
Vicky had some brilliant ideas that she wanted to hook up loads of businesses with the club, and we could share what we do here, some coaching and stuff around different places in the area, schools and different things. So, yeah, I was very positive. So hopefully we can get that together. But what's difficult sometimes, Adam, football is just such a fast-moving thing, you know, and you just get caught up in stuff. But you just need to take time and think, right, what's happening in the area? You know, what's happening to our town, and just embrace it and make sure that we're not missing any element of it. Mm-hmm. It's nice to see the MP tweeting out this week, you know, which is it's nice to see. So people are sitting back and taking note of what's going on. But you know, the club definitely needs investment, and this is not me not trying to sell, but it does with the utilities, everything's gone up, so on and so forth, you know. In my ideal world, we wouldn't have liked to put any prices up, but it's a case of we need to, you know. The squad's improved. Costs are going up, different things, you know. The beer, for one, it's just going through the roof. It's hard to compete now. But, you know, we're trying to keep it as economical as possible. And again, and try and make the the match day experience is as enjoyable as possible. But no, I'm totally with you. Anything we can do to help in the community, and I think the people from the coordination with the Hales Own Town bid would be the Hales Own bid would be great. So
one thing that I've always found doing radio over 15 years or whatever it is that it's difficult to get yourself advertised out if people don't know you exist in the first place. And the best way to do it is actually be seen out there in the community. And I'm just thinking that it's it would be a good thing perhaps if the odd player or manager or whatever get seen in the town and as part of an event or whatever, then that perhaps generates the interest and possible footfall with the club as well.
100%. I think, especially the new players that have come here, I think they realise how associated with the football club the fans are and how quickly associated with the new players have become. And that's important. So, yeah, they're under no illusion that it just doesn't happen overnight, and there's been a lot of work happened with the college and so on and so forth. So maybe it's just taking the next step, as you say, Adam, and moving into the town and seeing what we can do to help improve and show our face. But we are available, so I'm looking forward to setting some of them meetings up and seeing what's possible.
And you mentioned the local MP. I know Mr. Pantney's got various gripes with Dudley Council at the moment. Yeah. Is there any issues that you've got with either council or MP at the moment?
Well, I've got to be very careful what I say, but probably not, no. We, the biggest issues we had were with training facilities, we couldn't find it anywhere, you know. So we come up with a nice plan and partnered with the college, and that seems to be working really well. But no, definitely not any problems with the town. So far, so good.
Will there ever be a ladies' side?
There will be a ladies' side. I'm sure you're bugging me somewhere down the line because that conversation took place earlier on today. We've got two options for the ladies' team that we're exploring at this moment in time. So I'm 99% certain that there'll be a ladies team playing here next year.
And the reasons behind that?
Them coming on or we've not done it yet?
Both.
I think we've been very, very busy building the structure of the club. You know, it's only 4 or 5 years, and you know, if you're going to bring somebody to the football club, you've got to make sure you can house them and give them what they need. And I've spent quite a lot of time talking to Andy at Stourbridge about what they've got and the problems that they might have and the best way to move forward. So, I'm very, very conscious that we do need it. It's part of the community now. The ladies' game's growing all the time. And I definitely want a ladies' team as part of the club. If I'm honest, it's just time. Just purely time. I have been approached by West Bromwich Albion ladies as well, which I was seriously considering.
To do what?
To bring the ladies team here.
Okay.
So I think they've joined Redditch at the moment, and I've been in several different places, and I know they're keen to come here. So we've got that option. We've got two options of teams that want to come on board as well as ladies team. So through the course of this year, probably, well, we'll have to have it and by Christmas, I'd have thought, to make sure the planning goes right. But yeah, we're keen to do that. And it's purely down to timing and resources, really. You know, if you have a ladies' team, you know how, for instance, I'm talking about, we've got potentially seven home games on a Saturday. And then to ask these guys to come again on a Sunday and open up and do different things, it's asking a lot. So it needs properly planned infrastructure and more resources to come and make it work. Because if you just say, yeah, we'll have it, we're ticking all the boxes, we've got a ladies team and that's fine. But if we're going to do something, I'd much rather do it properly and make sure that it's a professional outfit and a professional setup when we do it first time.
But I suppose from two elements, one, the business element, because the ladies' game is growing big time at the moment. But also, I guess you've also looked around and seen, you know, not just Stourbridge, but Sporting Calder and Lytown have got their own ladies set out. I guess it's the case that you don't want to miss the boat, really.
No, I don't want to miss the boat. And I think it's, you know, if you look around our game on match day, there's loads of ladies and women here. So I'm 99% certain if we have one, it'll be very well supported. So, no, we don't want to miss the boat, and we want something to be proud of. But again, as I say, the only reason it's not happened so far is just down to timing and resources, really. So, I think the time is now, and we're really hoping to get a team in there in the league for next year.
Finally, what about Keith McKenna? You've been here for, I don't know, 6, 7 years?
5 years.
5 years now. It seems longer. It's really, really dragged. I mean, you've been through the mire with this club. It nearly went out of business, and all of a sudden it's the best thing since sliced bread. Yeah. I mean, it must mess with your emotions a bit as well.
Yeah, it does. It definitely messes with emotions. You know, at one point I thought we're not destined to go very far when we had the promotion and then the FA Trophy, and then we got done in the last minute against Chase Town. But do you know what? I'm a firm believer that you just got to stick at it. You know, you can see the potential of the club. Fans were amazing. It is hard work. It's harder to run a football club than it is my own business. There's no two ways about it. I was explaining just that to Andy Poutney, and he was in full agreement with me on Tuesday. But you know, we've got some great people that run the bar, volunteers that we have around. You know, you've got to be invested in the club, and there's so many people invested in this club, and that's what makes it easier and what drives you. You know, there's a lot of passion, a lot of enthusiasm, but you know something, I think the crowd just like to be entertained. I know that's a wee bit of a cliche, but they like to see good football. If you play good football, a good team, somebody you can get behind, and if you can win whilst doing all of them, you've hit the jackpot. So yeah, I'm really enjoying it. There has been times when I've nearly felt like throwing the towel in, I'll be honest. You know, even my wife said, I don't know why you do this, because you don't seem very happy. But you know, tomorrow's always a new day, isn't it? And a new thought process. So it is hard work. Do love it. And I'm desperate to get the club into the next level. You know, desperate. And we are financially sound. We've got great sponsorship, big sponsors coming on board. And if we do grow, then the infrastructure will be in place. So I think it only bodes well for the future. To say we've got a good manager, good background staff, good team at the moment. You know, you just got to press the button when you've got all those pieces of magic at the same time. So really looking forward to it. And so, yeah, I'm not going anywhere just yet.
And there were some people who dug deep into their pockets when this club was nearly at an end. And they stood by the club. They stood by you and Karen and Colin, and believed in what you were trying to do. I know you've done, obviously, the two of you did your own thing as well. But to a certain extent, is what happening now like their reward for believing in you guys?
Definitely. You know, even from the first fans forum, I come in, I decided, I need to approach Karen to help. There was so much enthusiasm, so many people saying, well, I'll help. And you know, and Karen's right. She said that I will ensure every penny goes back to the club. You know, and if we can get to the end of the season and you know, we're broke even, which never happens, by the way, but if we ever get to that magical time, then you've had a great season. And if you can progress at the same time, you're laughing. You know, it is hard to manage. There's so many different assets of the club. That when we come in, there was nothing being measured, Adam. Nobody knew what it was making, what it was losing, what it was doing. You know, it was in total free fall. So we've got lots of measures in place now. So we've got a foundation where we know how to grow, what we're trying to do. So, but those people, yeah, definitely, you know, I could name a few, but I shouldn't really. But they've helped the club, and you know, and it was, and hopefully we are rewarding them, you know, and to better things. But it, you know, they're the people you need when the club's really at its lowest, and they came and helped us. So,
and ultimately, Colin was proven right in that he, well, me included, thought it would be a better idea to have a Phoenix club and start again from scratch. Colin was there banging the table saying, no, it has to stay as it is. And he's been proved right.
Yeah, 100%. I think we'd have got relegated if we'd have went down that route. It'd have saved Karen and I a lot of money, mind you. But no, we wanted to stay where we were. We wanted to keep the name. We wanted to do it. We wanted to make sure that that everything was in place to carry on. You know, I think we got relegated the season after, which was unfortunate, but it wasn't for the lack of trying and you know, but Karen and I just spent all our time digging the holes and finding the problems and then filling them up again, you know. And it's amazing what can be hid around a football club that you don't know about, you know. But yeah, listen, but we spent a bit of time, Karen mainly, first 6 months, and then we... you know, we've built a good foundation and a base of how we do things to ensure that it just doesn't happen again. You know, everything's transparent. You know, we live within our means, and you know, we're in a really good place now. But it's been hard. But I couldn't believe it's 5 years. I really can't. 5 years. But somebody said to me, 5 years, and you've got a feeling like you've got now. I'd have took that all day long.
Let me finish off with probably a leading, well, it's definitely a leading question. Let me give you a choice of three. Which would you prefer out of the three? Promotion, a really, really good FA Cup run, or for your horse to win the Scottish Grand National at Ayr?
Oh, goodness, that's a very hard question.
Bear in mind there'll be lots of Alzheimer Town supporters listening. You can tell me the truth after we've finished.
Well, listen, promotion comes around April. The Scottish Grand National is in April, so why can't I have both?
Is the very diplomatic answer indeed. Keith, lovely to talk to you. Thanks for your time.
Thanks, Adam. Thank you. And that...
Black Country Radio Sports.